So like I said before, one thing about all of us is that we think maybe just because who we are, I'm just one person in a world, in a sea of so many thousands, millions of people, that maybe what we ask for and pray about is not going to make that big of a difference. But we saw in so many different examples, two of which that I'm going to name, that those little things from one person can make such a big difference. Jonah, for instance, not that great of a person. He prayed and God answered his prayer. Cornelius was a man of faith that did amazing things with his prayer life and made it, you know, available to the Gentiles, made salvation available to the Gentiles, the gospel of Christ available to the Gentiles. And just his prayers were answered. And that's an amazing thing. And I went to the lectureship, one of the lectures over the at the Faulkner, at the lectureship, to hear Steve Wages talk about extending grace to our family when it hurts, to do that. And, you know, it was a great class. I don't know if... I haven't seen Steve in a while, and I've really enjoyed reconnecting with him, but he's got a really good approach of how he delivers his message. And he did... It seems like we talk about the prodigal son an awful lot, and there's a lot of reasons why we do. But one of the things that he said that really stuck in my mind is sometimes our righteousness becomes our sin. And he was referring to the oldest son and how he was judging what happened with his younger brother and how his dad received his younger brother and how things went terribly wrong as far as the older brother was concerned. And we're going to read some passages tonight that is a good way for us to not to put ourselves in that position. You know, we do have the ability as the brotherhood or Christians to be able to petition God just like anyone, but we have a special gift and presence in our lives that we can even groan and be heard because of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And I don't want us ever to think, I don't want to ever be one that has such great gifts and abilities to go to God in prayer and to petition him about certain things. And never do I want to feel like that I've evolved into this person that is so quick to judge and become more righteous than others because of the ability that I have to pray. I think the more that we learn and our faith grows, the more it softens our heart. I truly believe that. I think that the relationship we have with God, it only manifests that. And it's so important that while we grow in our faith and we pray through these things, that we condition our heart that way. We focus on the things that he asks us to focus on, and we pray about those things. And we make it a point not to become so righteous that we become sinful in our own righteousness. So we're going to start by going into Romans, or this is where our text is going to be on tonight. And it's Romans chapter 12. And we're going to go all the way through to 16. And I'm going to move through pretty quickly, but I think this is a great guideline for us. Altogether is a model for us to be good Christians. But in particularly, I want us to focus on the things that we're reading about so that we can pray about those things and grow in this type of faithful living, Christian living. So in Romans chapter 12, Paul starts out with he beseeches us by the mercies of God that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And that's our reasonable service. Down in verse 3 begins and says, "For I say through grace is given to me that everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And then from 4 on down, he says, we have many members of this body. All have gifts. Verse 6, it says, let us use them. Let us use these gifts. It says that these are the types of gifts that he recognizes, and he says, if you have them, use those. Verse 9, it says, cling to what is good. In verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Be affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. Bless and do not curse, it says. Rejoice with them who do rejoice, and weep with those who weep. 16, be of the same mind towards one another. And don't set your mind on high things, but associate yourself with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Verse 17, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of man. And if possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And don't avenge yourself. This chapter begins and is somewhat repeated in some of the other chapters, but I wrote down some things here that we can pray about. Number one, we should pray that we're holy and acceptable to God. That's what it talks about here in the first part of the chapter. Number two, I think we should pray for humility. I also think, as we talked about last week, that we look for the things that we can do to serve other people, which is we need to pray that we recognize the gift that we have to be able to serve others, especially how we can grow and make the church grow. We need to recognize that we have gifts and pray that we utilize those gifts. We also need to pray for the body of the church. Number five, we should pray for brotherly love and unity. Number six, praying for patience. And number seven, pray for our adversaries. I mean, this is a recipe for us right here in a lot of things, but in particularly how we can pray and grow in these items. We can pray to be a more positive person. We can pray to become a more peaceful person. And most importantly, we can pray to look for ways to serve others. Now, that's what I take out of this chapter 12 and how I would see this as a good recipe for good prayer. And when we go to 13, it gets a little deeper. It tells us about how to pray, I think, for our rulers. Because if we pray that we are in subject to our authorities, which it says here, let's read it. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, verse 1 of 13. Remember, there's no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, who resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And then it says on verse 3, do what is good and you will have praise from the same. It's very difficult sometimes when we have the rulers that we have to be under authority of those. But I think it's super important that we pray for them. I mean, we are asked by divine inspiration or instructed to do this. Is that tough? Sometimes it is. But I'm a simple person, and if it says that every soul should be subject to governing authorities, I have to try to live in peace with that. So we should do a good job of praying that our leaders are influenced for the good, that they make good decisions about what they do, that we pray that God watches over our leaders. Verse 8, it comes up that we are to love one another. We've heard that before. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, it says in verse 10. In verse 11 through 14, Paul gives us instruction about casting off works of the darkness, putting on the armor of light. I think it's very important that we pray that we are protected by God's word, that we are protected from the evil one, that we're not given in to temptation. And that's a serious thing we should pray about, personally and publicly. For those first two chapters, does anybody have anything they want to add to that? It's a great point. I don't want to be flippant about this, but if it says pray without ceasing, I can understand why. I mean, there are so many things that we need to be focusing on and meditating on. Not just this list. I mean, Philippians gives us an incredible list of things that are what we should. I've got it right here. We can read it. It talks about some great gifts that we should pray for and. But there is virtually so many things that we need to pray about in order to alleviate several things. I have a reason. I mean, I can tell you what one reason for me for praying is, a simple one, but to overcome being anxious about situations that exist when it regards this. Any particular scenario that you have with a brother, let's say, if you have a situation with a brother and it's a tough one, I mean, to eliminate and alleviate the anxiousness that you have regarding that, you pray about it. Other reasons to pray for these things? I mean, we want to be continually blessed as a nation. there are time and time again and several examples for us to pay attention to where people turned their back on God and things didn't go so well for those nations. There were still leaders that were there and God guided them no matter what. I mean, it said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. His will was going to be done regarding the Israelites leaving Egypt. That's a tough verse for me to comprehend because in all things, I don't want to ever feel like my God can just purposely harden someone's heart to make his will progress forward as he sees the need to. But I don't want to be that vehicle that he uses to in that respect. Think of Jonah. I mean, he ultimately got what he wanted done, but it was a very difficult time for Jonah. Not a pleasant thing to go inside the belly of a fish. And ultimately, the demise of Pharaoh, it doesn't mean Pharaoh didn't have a choice about the matter. I mean, but he certainly, at that moment in time, was going to fulfill the will of God. Now, praying about being a vehicle of God's will as a positive light, you know, I want to say that the only way we can ensure that and do that is to think on the things that are spiritual of nature, godly in nature. And we want to focus on those things and become that person, that vehicle that does good instead of evil. That's very important in our prayer life. So to reduce anxiety regarding some of the things that continually plague us, whether it be our leadership, our country's direction, the growth of the church or not the growth of the church, or division in the church, or our children that disappoint us, our spouse, difficulties with our spouse, our sick children. You know, the list is enormous. But to eliminate that anxiety, prayer is an answer for that. Any other reasons why? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I mean, I can't comprehend a lot of things that happen, and I'm glad that I've admitted that I can't. I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of us, as human nature, want to think that we can solve the problem in some way or fashion. I mean, I'm in the business of solving problems. A lot of us here are in the business of solving problems, but sometimes you have to admit to yourself that the problem cannot be solved and you can't do it without help. And the help that you're going to have has to be from the Lord. And, you know, don't get in a position to feel that desperate. I think if our prayer life is consistent day in and day out, then we can rest assured when something comes up that's a terrible thing in our lives, we are more equipped to deal with that. We are more equipped to deal with that. Yes.
One of the bullet points out of chapter 12, there's no better place to begin than verses 1 and 2. I need to be praying. We need to be praying every day, especially given the moral climate of our culture, that we don't allow our minds, our thinking, to be poured into the same mold as the world. But we need to allow that spiritual transformation to take place.
Yeah.
So the world will catch up with you.
The world is so connected in every way and every day. It doesn't take long to say to yourself, you know, The vehicle I'm driving is just not good enough. And it's a fine vehicle. Or you could say, you know, I know people like to use the analogy driving down Atlanta Highway, but everybody's got their Atlanta Highway, okay? And it's not pleasant sometimes, and you could easily pull yourself out of the correct way of thinking, the mental preparation that you've done to stay focused into spiritual things, and it can easily pull you away. I'll tell you one thing that can do it right here. This. I can't tell how many times have I told people that it wasn't 25 years ago I was pulling up to a payphone to make phone calls on a job site. We'd wait in line in trucks, you know. All the trucks would wait in line for the payphone to make phone calls for construction. I can look at plans, contracts. I know who's on the job site right now. Now, if you don't think that that is a distraction in your walk with God, I can tell you right now that there are plenty of TV shows, plenty of projects around the house, plenty of athletic events that the kids want to partake in, plenty, plenty, plenty of things to do that will take you out of where you need to be mentally. And it's that one disruption that I spoke about in your life that puts you to your knees, and you're not ready for it. We're never going to be ready for it, but you're going to be more ready for it if you have a strong prayer life. You can't help it. You can't help it. This is something I need more than anything. If I make purposeful preparation to pray, then I am going to grow in my faith. It's going to make the boundaries I had in my mind go away. It's going to give me peace that I never thought I could have. It's going to make me become that light to those around me. It just can't help it. Prayer is so important. It's a tool for us to be able to grow and to do it the right way and to be able to get through situations that are terrible in our lives and be thankful when no one else is happy about the situation. God's happy about it. You can pray about it. So let's go over to, if no one else has anything, let's go into chapter 14, please. Now this one, I would encourage, of course, everyone to read everything, but just going through this, Paul is really concerned here about our level of faith and our interaction with others. Now, I got out of this chapter that one thing we should do is pray for unity. We should pray for forgiveness and not to judge others. We should be more concerned about what we have to fix in our lives than someone else. And I go back to the oldest son and the prodigal son. And this is where I want to say, be careful of not letting your righteousness be your sin. And the thing about it is we all are, per this chapter, we all know that we're going to give an account for what we do one day. Only us. I can't advocate for someone I love. I can't do it for my child. I can't do it for my wife, my mother, my father. Just me. At the end of the day, when it all comes right down to it, we are the only one responsible for our salvation. We need a support group, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, this is it. So we have got to be very careful and basically just don't do it. Don't judge others. It is so difficult for growth in the church when you feel like there are a percentage of those that could respond to the gospel message or need the prayers of the church. And those people have sat in the pew and not moved because for fear of being judged by others. Me. Guarantee you. I've wanted to go up and ask for the prayers of the church many times. Maybe not public sin, but just things that I can't deal with, even with my own prayers. And to have that, you know, I started off this class about the game Survivor. I just love that show. You know, but they're looking for the weak person in the group to vote off the island. And that is not what you need to happen here. Everyone needs to feel total comfort about reconciling. Everyone needs to feel like that the people in this congregation want to pray for you. And that is a very difficult thing when there is the air of judgment. So it just don't do it. And pray that you don't judge. Pray that you focus on your problems. And the rest will take care of itself. Any comments about that? I have a couple notes here. There's one body of unity. It reverts back to chapter 12, verse 3. We're one body. We should consider others' salvation. And we should do that while we consider our own actions. And we all have individual accountability. So what I say here is, when we pray, I said, help us look for the good in others. Help us not to judge. And those are the two things I gather from this, among other things. But as far as when I pray, I want to look for the good in others before I look for anything wrong. It does say in verse 19, or 20 rather, it says, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things that which make peace and the things which may edify one another. Romans chapter 15, I think, is a continuation of 14, but in a different light. Well, as we bear one another's burdens, as we're there to help others through being that person that you can rely on for advice and to confess things that are troubling in your life and to work through some situations that you need some encouragement and edification. I think that Paul is doing a really good job in this chapter. In verse 5, I like this verse. I've underlined it. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying for unity in the church is something that I know that Cecil May is adamant about, or passionate, rather, about right now. He's got a pen that he's given out. Has anybody got his pen? It's about church unity, brotherhood, the brotherhood's unity. And I love that he's passionate about that. He's got a cause. We all have a cause, but he's got a cause, and he's promoting that, and I applaud him for that, and I support that, and we should pray about that. We should pray for Cecil's work. We all want unity in the brotherhood. I have a question here that I wrote down. How did Christ receive us? Verse 7, therefore receive one another just as Christ received us. How did Christ receive us? So Christ receives us no matter what. Yeah. Yeah. I think we should receive each other as Christ received us, but we should receive each other with Christ. We should have him with us as we deal with one another. I think that is the key in my mind for when I read about this. I mean, the example is he's there. He's given us opportunity. He's given us salvation. He's shown love to us that surpasses all understanding. And the only way I can even come close to doing that is to include him when I am dealing with other people. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's so important to have him involved in the, when we do interact with others, and we pray about that. If you go on over to, I'm going to real quickly go to 15, verse 18. Paul says, "For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In word or deed." Now, that's limits for Paul, and it's limits for us. Our limits are Christ. And that's a really good thing to remember. Don't go over and above what you've learned here in the scripture about how to do these things. And it's a good thing for Paul to say, because he could have easily taken it further than he took it. But he said, look, I have a stopping point, and it's because of Christ and only Christ that I stop at this point. Very, very good example for us, and I think that's a limit that we should set as well. Nothing more than what Christ says that we should do is what we should do. And that's a good rule. And I hope everyone's prayer life excels because of these things, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I'm appreciate everyone's encouragement, and thank you very much for being here and all the comments that were made. And I appreciate the attention and everything. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.